What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you click the subscribe button and turn on notifications. There's a lot of really cool episodes that we're going to have coming up. We know a lot of people are searching for some of these topics, whether it's about a Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke, emissions, different trends that are going on. It helps us be able to have our guest reach the people that are searching for it. So your support, liking, commenting, it goes a long way to being able to help us. And we want to thank you guys that have been subscribing recently to the podcast. On today's episode, I got a message on Instagram. The gentleman's name is Matt. He's going to be joining us here shortly. And he put an LBZ in a boat. And he was telling me a little bit about it. And I don't know that much about diesel marine applications. And I was just really interested in the kind of stresses that that application puts on a motor. And wanted to have him on to talk about that, upgrades he had to do to be able to make it work, some of the challenges he had with custom parts. So it's going to be a great episode. Before we get to it, though, I want to remind you guys that our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 20% off site-wide code for you. If you go to kershaw.kiausa.com, use code DIESEL20, you get 20% off. And they've got a ton of different choices, no matter what your budget is, or if you need something for EDC or hunting, fishing, at work, around the house. They've got a lot of cool stuff there. So make sure, if you're in the market, to check them out. All right, let's get to today's episode with Matt and learning more about this LBZ in his boat. Matt, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I really appreciate you reaching out to us on Instagram to share a really cool build, which is totally different. Normally, we're talking about trucks and they're going fast or building the ultimate tow rig, but you've got a Duramax in a boat. And from our chat before, there's a lot of really good information in here. So I look forward to chatting with you today and learning about something I don't know a lot about, and that's like marine diesel applications. So it's going to be really cool.
For sure. Yeah, it is. It's a really cool build.
To start off, tell us a little bit about your kind of history in diesel, whether it's, with trucks or medium duty or, marine diesel, but what's your background with, working on them, fixing them, making them run better?
So originally, this would have been back in 2006, I bought a 5.9 Cummins, of course. And, how everybody does is throw a couple $10,000 at it and put a tranny in it and kind of go from there and wreck a lot of stuff. And, and I started out racing, actually, my 06-5.9, and then just progressing and getting into sled pulling and dynoing and so on and so forth. And ended up turning into a 1,000-horse street monster. And then kind of got carried away and people were like, oh, you should open a shop. So of course I did. I'm a mechanic by trade. So I opened up a automotive shop, just Diesel Performance. That's all we did up here in Alberta, Canada. And I did it for 10 years. We built some pretty cool trucks, some fast trucks. I mean, I was down into the 9.4s at 155 miles an hour with a 6,300 pound triple turbo. We had triple SXE 88s on it and, 3.67 stock pumps because it was about reliability. We're a sled pulling champion in Alberta here, Alberta, Saskatchewan. We are unlimited anyways. I did a couple events at Hunting for Horsepower. So there's a fair bit of people that know who I am or whatever. And then we kind of went from there and we did it for 10 years or so and decided to move on to something else. So I kind of just carried on from there. But, we got the boat is what we're talking about here. And so anyways, that's one of the background is diesel. So I know the power strokes, the Fords, the power strokes, the Cummins, the Duramaxes, as a Cummins guy through and through, but I also do really love the power strokes, but Duramax is kind of my new fan right now. So, I have 7 pickup trucks and of course the boat, and I'm building another boat with the Duramax in it soon. So, we kind of go from there.
It's really cool. And it has me interested to learn more about the boat. How did, what did it start out as? And then why did you pick a Duramax engine to put into it? And what kind of challenges did you have through the early part of putting it together?
So, originally I bought the boat. It blew the engine up and floated down the river and hit a log jam and got all smashed up. So my buddy decided he's going to buy a brand new boat. So I ended up buying this boat off of him. Wrecked, of course, had to do a bunch of welding and rebuild the swim deck and so on and so forth. And it had a 383 stroker in it. So I built another 383 stroker, assuming, you know, it's easy, whatever. So I put another 383 stroker in it, and we would go out and we would, you know, it'd be $150 to $200 a day for six hours of jet boating. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, there has to be something better than this. And you know, and I'm not a gas guy by trades. I don't really enjoy gas vehicles at all. So they're not really, I'm diesel through and through. So I decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put a Duramax in this boat. And, you know, the beautiful thing about GM is the bow housing's the same. The motor mounts are so close to the same. You know, the alternator bracket, like all those things that GM, their product, they do a really good job keeping everything simple through the lines, right? And so, you know, we had to build custom oil pan, you know, up pipes, manifolds, had to build my own pedestal. That stuff's water cooled, you know, and just progress from there. We ended up, we've wrecked a few engines in this build. Definitely an eye opener from going from the automotive to the marine side, how much stuff are the same, but very different loads, different running, you know, it's direct drive. There's so many things that are not the same as a street truck, or like, you know, I can build a motor for a street truck and throw it in and I'll never see the guy again. But in the boat world, it took me 8 engines to get it nailed. Like,
yeah, I imagine there's so many different things that would pop up, you know, along the way with, you know, just fitment, the oil system, cooling, the hard parts. What were some common things that maybe happened early on where you had to think outside of the box? Like, how do I fix this issue so that, you know, the engine can live, or what sort of weak points did you find along the way with the Duramax itself?
So, you know, one of the biggest weak points was LBZ would split pistons. And that's what we used an LBZ starting point, just because it was simpler. And LBZs make good power with a bass tune. So we ran into oiling issues. The oil pan was, I had to build 3 different oil pans by the time I got it figured out where it wouldn't aerate the oil at high RPM. We ran into temperature control issues. We have a PPE oil pump filter housing delete kit on it, just so we can run the closed loop, because it's a closed loop system, and just so we could run the closed loop system without any other load on it, so then the cooling system could stay happy and healthy that entire time. So, you know, we had to do a really big oil to water cooler that's cooled by the river water. That was probably between that and the oil pan and clearancing the bottom end for the main bearings and rod bearings. That was probably the biggest hurdle, is trying to understand every time we had a failure that it was to put your finger on it and pinpoint exactly that it was an aeration issue, or it was a clearance issue, or it was a temperature control issue. That was probably the hardest part of the entire build, was understanding what was happening every time we wrecked a motor. You know, I did bend some rods. I did split some pistons, common Duramax things, especially, you know, we had EGT issues for the first little bit because we were playing with different turbos. We were using, you know, a 363 SXE. Then we were using a 369 SXE, and still didn't. It flowed good on the high RPM side, but it seemed to choke on the cruise. Like at that 3,300 RPM, we were 1,500 degrees on the pyro, and it wouldn't survive, especially. And I couldn't even control the oil temp because the exhaust temp was so high that the piston squirters is trying to cool the pistons down, and it wouldn't stay together, like failure after failure. Right. So that was probably the biggest hurdle with putting that engine in the boat. Totally different load parameters, totally different a totally different world, right? You got no airflow over the motor, so there's things that you would never think of that just pop up, and you think you got it nailed, and then it's the next one. It's where we had to put a fuel cooler on it because the diesel would get up to 200 Fahrenheit, which I mean, at that point, it's so thin that we couldn't get any RPM out of it. The boat wouldn't run, and we couldn't figure out why at first because. I tried to data log. I was so paranoid about oil temperature and oil pressure, and I had an Edge CTS for, and then I had on every port on the block, I had oil pressure gate or sending units, so then I could see if there was pressure fade in going across the main line of the block. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that went wrong. Now that I have it figured out, we're actually building two more this winter for customers now, but.
That's where I think like I would be totally stuck. Like with the truck stuff, there's been so much history with them where where the piston might fail or the crank or different parts of the engine, but the operating RPM, the whole setup is so different. Were there any places that you found helpful to try to pinpoint where these issues were coming from, or did you just have to almost use like a process of elimination and just take it on yourself to figure out, okay, this is an oil issue, this is a temperature issue on the fuel or whatever it might have been.
Yeah, that was pretty much what it was. It's not like you can just open a book up and it's Marine Diesel Duramax and you can just flip through it and you kind of have a go-to guide. You don't, I know lots of Duramax guys. Richard from RPS Diesel up here in Morinville is a really good buddy of mine. And so he chat him up quick. He's a super smart, super solid engine builder up here. And I chatted him up a quick, and he's just like, well, I'll try this or try this. And it was just basically, yeah, just a process of elimination. It's like, well, a couple of times I did want to give up. And my wife, she's like, you are not quitting this. Like, this is too cool. You cannot stop. You get tired to a point where you're just like, I'm going to throw in the towel and I'm just going to put a 572 big block in it and just call it a day, right? And, and she's like, you can't stop. You're so close. So, yeah, it was frustrating at times. There's like, you put the boat in the water and you'd start it and it would start beautiful and you'd hit the throttle and then you're like, hey, everything's good. And check, you make sure all your ducks in a row and okay, you lean on it. And then all of a sudden it goes sideways and you're just like, oh my God, where do I like now back to the drawing board again. Right. So yeah, it was basically a process of elimination, one thing after another. Yeah, it was basically, and just monitoring everything. And every time I wrecked the motor, then I'd be like, okay, we're gonna put a sensor here, and we're gonna put temperature sensor here, and we're gonna data log it some more. And it just, yeah, just learned from your failures and just pull it every time. As soon as it happened, I'd go to the farm, grab the mini hoe, pull the motor out of it, bring it home, put it in the garage, tear the motor down, and be like, okay, this is what happened. And yeah, it was tough. It was frustrating at times, for sure it was.
I think that's something a lot of listeners can identify with, whether they're looking at a project like this or they're wanting to build a race truck, or maybe it's not even automotive, maybe it's something else like a business they're building or something they want to do, is there's those times where it's just so incredibly frustrating and it's hard to get the answers, or there's really no place to turn to for the answers. And it's that process of, do you quit or do you just immerse yourself in it, try to figure it out? Try to get information from maybe other sources to kind of piece it together. And I think that's what's really cool about this is it wasn't like you just put this engine in the boat, it ran great, and we're doing a podcast about how awesome it runs. There was a lot of trials and challenges along the way for it to get here. And that's the part I really like, is to hear that side of the story.
Yeah, no, for sure. It definitely was. It was hurdles after hurdles. But honestly, and we like at the time too, and I got a little bit of motivation because there was two other guys in Alberta that were putting Duramaxes in boats and they were doing it. So of course I had a little bit of a fire under me. So I had to be the first, right? So of course they ended up giving up. They ended up wrecking a couple engines and they just gave up. And you know, I had lots of people being like, it's not gonna work, it's not gonna survive. You know, people making fun of me, the guys in the JetBull world, they're, you know, they're kind of like, they're just like, you're crazy, it's not gonna work, it's too heavy. In reality, like the Duramax is stripped, like this is basically in the marine application, it's stripped down. Like there is no alternator bracket, there's no AC bracket, like all that is gone. So we managed to lighten the motor up to, like, dressed in the marine setup, to 800 pounds. So it is on the heavier side, because like an LSX, they're in the marine setup, they're around that 650, 700 pounds, so it is a little bit heavier. But the pluses to having a Duramax in your boat versus a gas engine is huge, because like fuel mileage is probably one. Like I go out on a trip, we burn $50 worth of diesel, and diesel up here is $2 a liter, $2 a liter, right? So, and we burn $50 or $60 of diesel, and my buddy that's got a 6.2 in his boat, 6.2 LS, is burning $150 on the exact same kilometer trip or mileage trip, right? So a lot of those things were bonuses to that. The boat being heavier, honestly, just take one less person, is what I tell everybody that wants to do it, right? And just leave one person at home, and the boat weighs the same. So yeah.
Now, as far as the performance, how would you compare it to a gas engine that a lot of people do, you know, in the different ways you would use the boat? Is it, when we think of trucks, and when I relate it back to it, I think of like a half ton gas truck, or say a three quarter ton gas truck. Compared to the diesel, it's like night and day difference with acceleration, with economy, with towing power, with passing ability. There's so many benefits to it in the truck world. What is it like in the boat world?
It's amazing. So this is probably the best part about all this, is I had to, so I ended up, so it's things that a guy doesn't think about, right? Because I'm, like I said, I'm automotive all day long, and going to the marine side is a little bit different. There was one thing, Roger up here, he's a jet boat god up here. So I go to him and I'm like, this is what I have in the, I have a 6.6 liter Duramax. He's like, how much horsepower does it make? I was like, well, I have it tuned at 400 horsepower, roughly, at the crank. So I'm like, that's what I have. It's nothing crazy, it's 400 horse. He hands me an impeller for the jet drive, and he gives it to me, and he goes, this is going to do everything you need it to do. Okay, well, I don't know this, so I put the impeller in it, and I put it on the river, and the boat, you know, it immediately hits the rev limiter. Like, I mean, within seconds, it's on the rev limiter, and we're on step, and we're hauling. We're doing, you know, 45 miles an hour, nothing crazy. I'm like, well, this is about the same as my 383 stroker was, but it does come out of the hole pretty violent. And I'm like, okay. So I go back to Roger, and I'm like, yeah, this impeller doesn't load the motor. He's like, what? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it does not load the motor. It does not. Like, we're only getting 20% load burst on the Edge CTS. It says 20% load on the engine, so it's not even working. It's just there. And so he goes, well, here's an impeller that'll hold back 550, 600 horsepower, and it'll hold it at 4,000 RPM. I'm like, okay. So I put the impeller in. We put the boat in the water, and we hit it, and the boat comes up, like, it almost, like, I shouldn't say launches out of it, but it does launch. And in within a boat, like, it's a 20 foot river boat, it's heavy. We hit the throttle within a boat length, we're on step, on the GPS, the numbers are cruising. Like, it's like 10, 20, 50, 30, 40 miles an hour. Like, we're moving, right? And the boat, like, you know, I've been leaning on it harder and harder, and I've been bumping the RPM up. This winter, we're going to do a little bit different stuff to it, but compared to a gas engine, it's night and day. It doesn't even compare. I got people that have basically the identical boat of mine, you know, with a 6.2 in them, or they don't even, I out accelerate them side by side. When I lean into it, the thing pulls away from them. It's basically like driving a Duramax on the street, like a hot Duramax. You pull out on it and you're going down the highway and you roll into it. It pulls you in the seat. The boat does the exact same thing. And the gas engine never did that. And that's the beautiful part about this you get on it, you hear the turbo come on and it starts to whistle and away you go. Like it's night and day comparison. Like absolutely night and day. It puts a smile to my face every time.
Like think about, when you're a diesel enthusiast or a gearhead, like we want to upgrade everything, and we want, whether it's a truck, a boat, a side by side, whatever it is, we want to make them, go faster, do different things, and specifically with diesel, once you love diesel, it's like you want everything to be diesel. And when you're chatting with us earlier about some of the challenges of, making these parts and putting things together, because it's not a 2006 Silverado LBZ that is going to be a street truck or a drag truck. What's the aftermarket like for these parts? Like, if somebody was listening out there and thought, I want to put an LBZ in my boat, I want to do it. Is there a market for some of these components, like that you had to do for your truck, or is it something where it's almost completely custom? Every single one is, it's got to be built by, one person or, something like that. How does that all work?
So believe it or not, there is a abundance of Duramax marine stuff out there. PPE does make a pedestal. They do make pipes. They do make the flywheel for it. I built my own flywheel because I wanted a 120-pound flywheel. So PPE does that. There is companies out there that they sell the motor mounts for to Duramax to marine conversion. They do sell quite a bit of it. So it is on the expensive side. I pretty much built every I fabricate also, so I pretty much built everything myself. There are a couple little things I've purchased here and there, like the oil cooler. I got that from Hardin Marine. The closed loop cooler was the original one that come off the 383 stroker. But there is an abundance of believe it or not, parts for marine Duramaxes. Not at this level though. Mostly you'll see, like, I can't remember. There's a well-known company that builds marine diesels, but their rev limit is 3250, and they use a variable vane turbo. And we all know that variable vane turbos choke up at high RPM. So I didn't, right off the get-go, just from my experience, I didn't end up going with that. But yeah, so you can pretty much buy, if you want to spend the money, you could pretty much buy everything off the shelf to put a Duramax in a boat.
With the
Except the oil pan. I just forgot about that.
yeah, I was gonna ask about that, and then also with the internals, like if you're gonna do this, or is it almost guaranteed you're gonna need to do upgraded pistons, billet rods, do something with the crank in a boat application?
I haven't got to that point yet. My jet drive is maxed out for power, so this boat will be. This is where it is, as far as it's going to go. I keyed the crank and the cam and the common Duramax stuff. I didn't use I use an LLY crank because LLY cranks are strong. LLY LBZ are the or sorry LB7 are the strongest cranks out of the Duramax platform. I did use LBZ rods because they are stronger than LLYs. The pistons are stock pistons, like the original pistons that I like. The motor that I built for it was a core motor, so I basically bought a out of a rollover and just pulled it out and then just freshened that motor up. So I didn't really start from a brand new platform per se, but I did the common upgrades that you would do on a pickup truck to survive in there. If I had a jet drive that would take more power or more torque, I guess, yes, I would be doing, rods and pistons and, do a set of Carrillos or even a set of Wagler Street Fighter rods. Like, just, you don't need anything. The crazy part about all this is you don't have to spend too much money on things that you would per se on a street truck. Like, any broads, because you on a street truck, you're going to lean on the thing to 700 or 800 horsepower. Well, we all know that Duramaxes have weak points at that power level, rods, crank, so on and so forth. But in the boat world, the load is so much less that you can get away with not doing rods, or you can get away with not doing a SoCal crank, or changing to alternative firing cam. You don't have to do those things because the load isn't as great as it would be in a pickup truck.
I gotcha. And I was thinking, okay, if I was going to do something like this, and I messaged you or I called you up and I said, Matt, I can find an LB7, LLY, LBZ. Which one of these three would be best for me to start with? Would you direct me towards one of the different generations as a starting point for this?
I would do an LBZ as a starting point if you were going to do it from scratch, because they do have the better cylinder heads. They do flow more. They got a bigger Y bridge, and the standalone is simple because you don't have to worry about a fuel injector driver module, or you just have the ECM and you build a simple harness for it. You omit the glow plug module and all the glow plugs. Like, I don't have any of that. And you just it to me it LBZ is the simplest to put into a marine application, or even anything really. It's the nicest to build a standalone for, and you don't have an extra module or an ECM to worry about, right? So and they make the most power, and they're the most responsive out of the LLY and LB7, right? So that's what I personally would go with, just because I like LBZs. So
The electronic side you mentioned, I didn't think of this beforehand to ask you, but yeah, how do you make it run, or how do you tune it or change it to, if you want a little bit more power or you want to change something at a certain RPM range, is it just with a standalone that you can do it?
yeah, it's just a so basically a factory LBZ ECM, and then just a standalone harness. For the throttle up front, I ran a 20-foot cable with the LBT. I got an EFI Live with the DSP5 switch on the dash of the boat up front. So then I did that, and then just basically EFI Live to shut all the codes off, and that's it. And just a very mild tune. I don't have anything crazy in it. I can turn it up. Of course, like I said, I have a DSP5 in it. I can turn it up. It does make a difference when you're cruising. When I put it on the stage five, which whatever that is, for another 150 horse, or well, they say 150 horse at the wheel, so you take away, 28% drivetrain loss, right? So that it does make a difference on cruising. Like, we'll go down to about 2800 RPM, cruise RPM, if I turn the power up. But it's basically just a stock ECM and wiring harness, right?
So now that you got it all put together and you take it out on the lake or you go on a river, and maybe some of the people that you saw before that said, oh, this isn't going to work, or I'm happy with my 383, are they now like, hey, Matt, can you build one of these for me, or I want to put it in my boat, or how does
Yeah,
that work?
actually, that's funny, because one of my new jet boat friends that I met this summer or whatever, we went out on a couple trips with him, and he's just like, I cannot get over your boat. So now actually I have one here at the shop. We're slowly going to build over the winter, and we're end up going to put a Duramax in one of my friend's boats now. And I run into lots of people are like, why does that sound so different? And it's crazy. I mean, I sent you a video of it running, and it's crazy that it doesn't really sound like a Duramax. It doesn't also really sound like a gas engine either. It's a very different, distinct exhaust note that it has out of it. And a lot of people are like, what is in that? And when you put it in the water and you start it, the only thing you could, if you're a true diesel guy, is you'd notice how it turns over and starts. That's the only thing you'd notice. But other than it just sitting there idling to warm up, you would never know that it's a Duramax in it, ever. It's quiet. It surprises everybody.
That's what I thought was so cool about it, because it that video that I saw and just the story behind it was so unique and so cool. And I was really excited to chat about a diesel application outside of a truck. And because I know, like I mentioned before, if you're a diesel enthusiast, you want it in everything that you could possibly get it in. And you want some of those same benefits, whether it's on the water or, something off-road, is you want the benefits of just how diesel works and what it does. So I thought it was really cool to, hear the story and the background of this. And there's so much that I don't know, about marine applications. I pretty much just focused on trucks forever, and it really kind of piqued my interest and got me thinking about, not just Duramax, but also a Cummins in that application, or what are some different types of things? What's different about putting something like this together versus, a 7,500-pound truck that's meant to tow? So there's a lot for me to think about and kind of unpack and think. Doing more episodes like this, or checking in with you later and saying, hey, did you need to get more power out of it, or what's changed, or what did you find, kind of long term with the boat and the engine itself. So I really appreciate you reaching out to us, and I know somebody may be listening and they might be thinking, I'm excited, I want to do this, or I'm in the middle of this project and they want to reach out to you, or just see what you're doing with it. Is there a place that people can check you out on Instagram and be able to, see the boat, maybe ask you some questions, follow along with your projects?
Yeah, they can on Instagram. It's I was Jensen Diesel, and you can find me on there. And look me up on Facebook too, as Matt Jensen. And yeah, you can shoot me some questions. I got a lot of posts on Instagram, especially of the boat and us running the rivers and stuff like that. And we do post quite a bit because it is an accomplishment to have a Duramax and a jet boat. And, it's a cool thing. For sure. I'm actually building another one too over the winter. I'm doing a 15 foot with a 3 liter Duramax in it
Oh, that's going to be cool.
now. That's my next one now.
Oh, we're going to have to do another episode on that one when it's done.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't, before I let you go, I know that, it's like our audience, it's pretty much broken up almost evenly with Duramax, Cummins, Powerstroke fans. And I know the Cummins guys are sitting back and they're like, hey, this is cool, but, six in a row make you go and all that stuff. So have you ever thought of doing a Cummins in a boat application?
To be honest with you, originally I wanted to do a power stroke swap in my boat. So I wanted to do a 6.7 Scorpion is what originally I wanted to do, but I wasn't ready to spend the $10,000 for a Motec to run that engine. Yeah, that being said, Power Stroke is going to be one of my next ones that I will be doing, especially a 6.7. They are a beautiful engine. I like them a lot. The Cummins, I like Cummins, to be honest with you. That's my history is Cummins. But it's just so many things about it. It's heavy. It's a heavy engine, to be honest, and everybody knows it is. They're tall. The one thing about the inline six is you're going to have a fairly or not run an engine cover. They are a taller engine. I've played toyed around the idea of doing a 4TV in a jet boat because you can still make that 300 horsepower and get that 600 foot pounds of torque, which would still be perfect in the boat application. But then again, the 4TV is still the same height and dimensions as a inline six. So would I mean the guy I mean if you have the right boat, by all means I would. I mean, you can spin those to 5,000 RPM and they'll take it. But the Duramax just fits. It fits the boat perfectly. It does. And every boat I look at, it fits. It's got a GM in it, and 90% of boats have GMs in them, right? So it's just easier, to be honest.
That makes a lot of sense, because when I think of the truck world and like conversions, Cummins swap is so popular because it can fit, it's simple, it's just a really popular swap to do. And then thinking about boats, like you were just telling us, it almost changes. Well, it does change to where now what's fitting the best is that Duramax, that platform and the space limitations that you may have. So that's a really cool aspect that I never thought of. And, you know, just didn't even account for, you know, and like which engine would be best. So definitely keep us updated on the 3-liter Duramax and the Power Stroke, you know, whenever you get to them. It's a really cool topic. I enjoyed our conversation today, learning more about it, and yeah, keep us updated.
Yeah, I will for sure. I appreciate giving me the chance. That's awesome.
Don't forget, Diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. Use code DIESEL20 for 20% off site-wide. They got a ton of different choices. If you're looking for something really specific with a certain type of blade steel, handle material, a certain budget, certain use, they've definitely got you covered, and we appreciate them offering that discount code to all of our listeners. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, also Caleb, all of our other patrons, all of you who subscribe on YouTube, podcast apps, our Discord, Instagram, Facebook. We appreciate all your support for going on 6 years now, almost seven. And if you guys have a cool build, or you want to hear about a particular topic or want a guest on, make sure and let us know. We're always checking comments on YouTube, checking our email, info@thedieselpodcast.com, our Instagram, Facebook. So definitely reach out to us. Let us know. We'd love to be able to have a guest on or cover a topic that you want to hear about. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.